bringing us back to Holmesdale once again.
This is Don Letts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra. Stay tuned.
Everything is real radio.
Everything is real radio.
Everything is real radio. Radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Wavefarm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of the Governor and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the Greene County Cultural Fund, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC monthly supporters, whose generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Janine of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Good evening and welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month radio movie talk show here on WGXC every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. Tonight is a special show where we're going to talk about the upcoming 2025 Academy Awards. We're going to talk all about who's nominated and who we personally think are going to win. But before we get into that, we're going to do what we usually do and tell you about what's playing in the theaters around these parts. And I will start by telling you about what's playing at the Wyndham Movie Theater in Wyndham, New York. Right now, we have Captain America, Brave New World, Paddington in Peru, and Dogman. You can find out more about showtimes by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL in Hudson, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. We have The Brutalist, Universal Language, and No Other Land. And if you're interested in any of those showtimes or anything else that's happening at TSL, you can go to timeandspace.org for more information.
I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York, on Fairview Avenue, the one that's next to the Burger King. We have now playing Captain America, Brave New World, Paddington in Peru, and The Monkey. We also have repertory screenings. On February 28th, we have Castaway. On March 3rd, we have Lost Highway.
Yes.
On March 17th, we have The Fugitive.
Yes.
And on March 23rd, we have The Secret Garden. And they always have lots of events going on, so you can find out more if you like at storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Hard Truths, Every Little Thing, The Wizard of Oz, I'm Still Here, Becoming Led Zeppelin, the 2025 Oscar Shorts in Animation, Live Action, and Documentary, National Theater Live, The Importance of Being Earnest, and Free Willy.
Oh.
And now heading across the river to this side of the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story, The Wicker Man, I'm Still Here, The Brutalist, Becoming Led Zeppelin, the 2025 Oscar shorts in animation, live action, and documentary. And this is The Lord of the Rings, but I think maybe that was last weekend. It's unclear. But I'm just going to tell you about it anyway.
They might be still doing it.
They might still be doing it. If you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, or to find out any additional information, you can find out more at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. All right. Last but not least for me, I'm going to tell you about the other movie theater in Hudson on Fairview, the Spotlight Theater. We have The Monkey, Captain America, Brave New Worlds, Heart Eyes, Dog Man, Paddington in Peru, A Complete Unknown, Mufasa the Lion King, September 5th, Becoming Led Zeppelin, No Address, and Last Breath. You can find out more by going to spotlighttheater.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
A lot of movies out right now.
All right. Is that it for theaters?
That's it. That's all of them.
All right. So Jenny and I are broadcasting from here in the beautiful Catskill, New York, and we're in the window station, which means we can interact with the outside world if we so choose. So I'm slowly writing down all the best picture nominees on a dry erase board.
Yes.
See if anybody wants to give their opinion. But for right now,
thrilling.
I know. And we're, you know, we're not terribly organized tonight because we're just so excited.
We're just figuring it out as we go. But that's like pretty thrilling.
But so tonight we are going to talk about the big nominees, which ones we've seen and who we think is going to win. But I kind of want to start tonight by talking about The Brutalist because Jenny, you finally saw it.
I did. I think we should talk about The Brutalist. I feel like it's kind of looming large over the Oscars. No pun intended.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. That is a good pun too.
Thank you.
It's a good brutalism.
It's a big
pun.
Brutalist building.
Looming large, like a big concrete structure.
Exactly.
All right. So, Jenny, what did you think about The Brutalist?
I didn't like it. I feel so complicated about it. So The Brutalist,
let's get into it.
For those of you who are not familiar, because it's a brand new movie, so I'm sure many people haven't seen it yet, but maybe have been hearing about it. It's been kind of Upstate Films touted it as the year's most anticipated film, which I think was true. I think a lot of people were waiting to see it and see what everyone was talking about. It was receiving rave reviews for a while. It's a film that is ostensibly a biopic about a fictional architect who is a brutalist named Laszlo Toth, who in the 1940s, he's Hungarian and survives World War II and immigrates to the United States. And the movie kind of follows his path post arriving in New York City, moving to Philadelphia, trying to regain some semblance of his past life as he awaits his wife, who is still trapped in Europe, and like kind of exploring this extremely kind of sad experience that he's having as an immigrant in the US.
Yeah. Yep.
It's long, famously. Famously, it's very long.
It's three,
the three total and one half hours.
Yes. Yeah. It's 3 hours and a half. There is a built-in 15-minute intermission.
Although it is still 3.5 hours without the intermission is what I found out.
Oh,
having
is
watched it
really?
At my house. Yes.
When we bought our tickets, they were like, that's part of the runtime.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. But no, it's very long. And I will say one of my hottest movie takes for years has been that I think we should bring back intermissions. And I was pleased. I was very pleased that there was one.
I know. Okay. I'm going to jump in on that hot take and say I agree. And even for hour and a half movies.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I want them for even 90-minute movies.
Let me go get another snack.
Yeah.
I got to get up to pee.
I want to use the restroom.
It's great. Yeah. We can chat about the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
If we liked it so far.
Actually, I'm drinking so much soda.
I really am.
I don't have soda in the home. I'm drinking soda at the movie theater. I'm going to have a big root beer. I'm going to need to go to the loo.
My popcorn was done by the time the trailers were over. I need
Always.
More. I got to go get more.
Exactly. Yes. So a beautiful kind of story that I think is always worth telling over and over again. It didn't lose any points for me because it's a story we see a lot.
Totally.
Like I think
yeah.
especially, yeah, the immigrant in America story, but also like a master craftsperson mm-hmm. having to rebuild their career in a new place, like with the odds stacked against them. Always a beautiful story to tell. This one told very poorly.
Yeah, I feel really complicated about it because I think I've been reading a lot of reviews about it in the days since I've watched it. I watched it on Saturday night. And I didn't connect with it emotionally while watching it at all. I felt like it left me feeling very cold, but I could tell that there were a lot of things going on that I think maybe I wasn't necessarily grasping. And to me, what I've read is really interesting. It's like, it feels like it's a very literary movie where it has a lot of, it feels like it's telling an extremely complicated story with many, many threads, but it's not really weaving them together in a way that I felt was concise or useful. Like, I didn't really understand a lot of the, it's so
I don't even understand
about
the threads. Yeah. Like, I didn't even see it as like a, like being expressed as a complex story at all.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. This is a classic, you and I have talked about this before, where I think it's, to begin with, the movie is beautiful. It's stunning. It's like filmed on VistaVision, which is like whatever, the massive like 70 millimeter.
Yeah, like what was the last VistaVision movie, like in the 70s?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It looks incredible. The score is amazing. Like
the big piece. Yeah. It's great.
Totally. And a lot of the, I found the direction to be really interesting, and like I felt like there were a lot of things that I really liked about it, but at no point did I feel like emotionally involved in it, really. Like I was like, this is a very sad story about a very sad man.
Yeah.
But like at no point did I feel like deeply engaged by it, which maybe is a me problem, but
no, I don't think it's a you problem. So I did see it in the theater, and I do think, as we also talk about a lot, the theater setting was mm-hmm. helpful in like drawing me in. The first half before the intermission, you know, like, so it was, when Story Screen was also playing,
Blue Velvet.
And so we were like in our intermission saying hi to everyone new coming to see Blue Velvet, and people are like, oh, how is it? And we're like, oh, it's okay. Like, it's pretty good.
It's like solid historical drama.
The first half like had me engaged, especially actually like the very, very beginning. I'm sorry. We have a guest tonight, a silent guest. And I'm so sorry about spoilers.
we're going to be talking about The Brutalist tonight. Yes. So sorry.
And I'm so sorry to you listeners. If you don't want spoilers about these fresh, hot movies that we're talking about from 2024 last year, please tune out until the next hour when a new show comes on.
I do also feel this is one of those movies where it's like, it's kind of impossible to spoil it is obviously about
the experience of the story.
Yeah. Like, it's about a series of events in this one man's life, but it's kind of, so much of it is vibe and experience.
Yeah. The beginning. So Laszlo Toth, we jump into the movie right when he is arriving in New York City on a boat, and like seeing the Statue of Liberty inverted on the screen. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. The beautiful score comes in. And I actually did feel the only part of the movie where I was emotionally grabbed is when he first arrives and he mm-hmm. and his cousin embrace.
It's really
that
beautiful.
Actually really like got me. Lovely. And then honestly from there, it just like slowly slid down.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was doing a bad job at acting. I don't think that's why. I mean, okay, it's been a minute since I did watch it in the theater, but again, it was so long, and sometimes when a movie is that long, my gripe is that like, oh, like you could learn to edit. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't quite need to be this long. This, I almost feel like the script and the story needed editing. Like,
yes,
I
agree.
I actually love a long movie.
Yeah, me too. I love Lawrence of Arabia. You know that about me.
I know. Killers of the Flower Moon.
It's
like
incredible.
5 hours.
Yeah.
Let's go.
More.
Let's go. More. It was like, talk about like a historical drama that was really long.
Totally.
That was every minute of it was amazing and like engaging. There was just long swaths of The Brutalist where I felt that the writing was like, rambling and vague, mm-hmm. and sometimes vagueness in a story like is nice. Like you as the viewer are allowed a little space to mm-hmm. kind of like sink into it or relate to it, right, or whatever. Totally. But to me, the vagueness was coming from a place of like not having a well edited story.
Yeah.
Or a well, like, yeah.
It felt to me, I think some of the like reviews that I read that I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, was describing the form of the film as trying to reflect brutalism itself in this way that I think is interesting. But I also do think that requires some level of like being concise and specificity.
Yeah.
And I also felt that there were so many scenes in the movie that I did really enjoy, but that did feel like they kind of went on for too long. Like kind of I didn't even mention this. Laszlo Toth is played by Adrian Brody, mm-hmm. who is up for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Also up for the Oscar in supporting is Guy Pearce, who is essentially the villain.
Yeah.
In the movie who is introduced as a man who owns a house that Adrian Brody is hired to redo one room of, but he is surprised by it and is very angry and throws a huge fit.
Yeah.
So he's introduced as being extremely angry and then later returns to Laszlo Toth to basically take him on as the architect for this new building that he wants. And it is this really, I will say, like very well construed relationship between like a rich idiot,
yeah.
and like a person that he believes he becomes smarter by standing next to.
Their scenes in the first half of the movie are excellent.
They're excellent.
Like Guy Pearce is great.
He's really good. But I did think that like there were some scenes where I found his acting is incredible, but that was kind of, there were a couple of moments where I was like, why is this going on for so long? Like I know exactly who he is immediately. I don't need, like there are a couple of scenes that felt like they just went a little longer than I needed them to, which is not necessary, you know, who knows?
Like to no point, like to no like artful or entertaining
right.
point.
I already know
like,
who he is. Yeah. I don't need any more.
There were some of the scenes with just the two of them though, when he like Guy Pearce's character, like you're saying, like he's collected Laszlo Toth, yes. Adrian Brody's character, because he's collected him like he's collected a fine piece of furniture.
Yes,
like
100%.
It's like he is like a well-educated, extremely talented foreigner.
Yes.
Like this isn't like he's exoticized.
Absolutely,
right. Like,
yeah.
And the scenes of the two of them talking and Guy Pearce being like, I have great conversations with you.
Right.
Like,
right.
Better than anybody.
Yeah. It's so nice to have an intellectual conversation with you.
That bit of humor that Guy Pearce's character brought in those lines mm-hmm. in that part of the movie.
Great.
Were fun.
Totally.
Those
great.
Were fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it should be mentioned, like Jenny said, Guy Pearce's character, whose name I can't remember.
Something Van Buren. Harrison Van Buren.
Yeah. He like, you know, Laszlo Toth redoes his reading room. He's hired by Van Buren's son mm-hmm. to redo his library. Does an amazing job. It's absolutely beautiful. Van Buren freaks out because he doesn't know about it. And it's only after he does research on Laszlo Toth and gets a lot of media attention
yeah.
for his beautiful brutalist library.
When other people tell him that his library is great, he's
yeah.
like, oh,
yeah.
interesting.
So he's like, he's a very obvious villain.
Yeah, totally.
There's nothing, there's no subtlety in this movie, I think, with the, like,
I disagree, but I love.
Tell me more.
I just feel like the thing, like, I think, well, maybe there isn't any subtlety. I feel like what I'm maybe responding to in that is that I felt like I wasn't really understanding everything that was happening necessarily, or like I understood, I don't know. It feels like I was reading some reviews that made me kind of see some other threads that were happening in, I don't know. I'm like, oh, it sounds so dumb. It's
no,
hard to
it
talk
doesn't sound
about.
Dumb. I
That's
just want to read
like,
this
maybe
review.
Maybe I don't like the brutalist cause I'm a dummy.
Okay. Listen, I will say, I don't know what their marketing was. Okay. So I haven't met anybody who's seen it who liked it.
I have. That's a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Bring
but
them
I
here.
So maybe that is also part. I'm being influenced by that. But I did.
We don't know how. Okay. We don't know how to work the call-in on the radio, and this would be a great call-in episode.
God, we need somebody to call in. My God.
I know. I'm like, call in.
Please let us know. What do you think of the brutalist
or not?
But I do. I think that to me, I mean, our experiences of the movie are valid. But I, for me, it's like I felt like there was something that I wasn't really getting while I was watching the movie. And reading a review is not the same as actually receiving it from the piece itself.
Yeah, that's well put.
And for me, I felt like I was missing something in this way that it didn't connect to me at all. Like I was watching it being like, there's this huge weight of grief over this whole thing. Yeah. Like I feel it, I see it, or I don't feel it, but I like see it. Like this man has experienced such tragedy in his life and is dealing with trying to come back from that. And also, I mean, a huge subplot of the film also is his relationship to his wife, who does not appear until the second half of the film, which I won't say too much about that. I don't think we need to go like into it too deep.
Oh, I'm going to say something.
Okay, never mind. Let's talk about it. She's played by Felicity Jones, who I think is like fine.
She's not great.
I don't think she's good.
She's not that great.
I think the character is really interesting because she's very complicated, but she's like kind of passive. And I found the performance to not be that interesting itself.
She feels like an accessory to the main character. Yes. In a way that's like doesn't actually do that much interesting things. Like, okay, sure, she's an accessory, but it doesn't make anything that much more interesting for Laszlo's character or for herself. And like, okay, so I think it felt like a missed opportunity to me. So she shows up in the second half of the movie. When they got separated, mm-hmm. back in Europe, and Laszlo Toth meets a powerful lawyer through his new employer who is able to help get her and their niece over to the States. So she shows up, and I think there could have been such an incredible story to be told, mm-hmm. and like what it might be like to try and reconnect in, yes. your relationship, not only after all of that time, right. apart, but all of that trauma,
totally.
That was experienced together and individually.
Right, totally.
And like that could have been such an incredible story to be told.
Right.
Like in whether it was just through like the behavior of the characters, totally. Or whatever. And I feel like that ball was completely dropped.
Yeah. There's like some gesturing towards it where the two of them are immediately kind of, they have a really hard time reconnecting with each other.
Yeah.
But there's no, it doesn't feel like it's given the time that it deserves,
no.
or like the attention that it deserves.
Exactly.
And part of that, I do feel, I don't know, like Felicity Jones's acting is like fine. I'd also, my other hot take, yes. is that I think, yes.
go,
Adrian
go.
Brody's performance is great. However, he's so distracting because he's a famous man. Famous man Adrian Brody the entire time. Yeah. Like and that's maybe a me problem. And I know that to make a film like this, which is like a low budget, like indie, like over 3 hour long piece, you have to have a bankable star. And I understand that that's part of it. But I found him to be so distracting where I was just like, oh, Adrian Brody's having a bad time. Like, it's so, I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah.
And so like so much of their relationship feels like it's like almost really interesting. Like there's so many parts of it that I was like, oh, like keep digging into that when they finally are together for the first time and he like can't talk to her almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, what if we spent another 20 minutes on this?
It could have been a part of that story that I haven't seen told that much.
Yeah. And like, because they have such a hard time, because they're both dealing with this massive amount of grief, like there's such an interesting story there. But I too felt that I just like, didn't, I was so, I was left feeling so cold by this movie. I was, yes. like, okay.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Exactly. There was a lot of scenes that felt kind of over the top tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when she first shows up and they're having their first moment of intimacy.
Yeah.
And he's been messing around while he's been alone.
Trying to.
And they're finally messing around and she's like whispering in his ear being like, I know what you did. It's okay.
Yeah.
it just felt a little silly. Can I spoil? Can we go?
Let's tell. Hey, don't listen. If you don't want to be spoiled,
we're gonna
for
do
the
a big spoiler. Big spoiler. Okay. In the second half of the movie, as if her villain wasn't bad enough already, They travel together to Italy to find the perfect piece of marble for this community center slash church that Laszlo Toth is designing for Mr. Van Buren. At this point in the movie, Laszlo is addicted to heroin. And that's a whole part mm-hmm. of this also, which like not unrealistic, but also feels like a very like, and if like, it just feels yeah. a little showy in its tragedy, but I don't know. I'm saying that the wrong way, but it just feels
it's like, it's just yet another thread to add to the tapestry, which is like, okay, like, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And I'm like, we could have gone deeper on fewer yes. instead of just anyways.
Service on many. Yeah.
Mr. Van Buren, I keep saying Mr. cause I can't remember Harrison, whatever, yeah. Rapes Laszlo Toth.
Yeah.
And yes.
Our guest is appalled.
Yeah. Our guest is silently appalled. I don't know where a third microphone is. I want to get you in here. But it felt, I really, really, sexual assault in movies is always complicated. Mm-hmm. I think it's often a valuable part of a story or yeah. can be a valuable part of a story. And it can also be extremely egregious and unnecessary.
Yeah, totally.
And that's kind of how I felt about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate its presence in that movie. I didn't think it was necessary. It yeah. was extremely unsubtle. Not that everything has to be subtle, right. but it just felt like...
No, you're right. The more I'm thinking about your unsubtle comment, I'm like, no, you're right. A lot of it is very,
it
like...
It felt so heavy-handed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's, like, a non-literal rape happening, yeah. and now we're going to get the literal.
Right, it's like, I understand that he is... We're in this scenario where he's being taken advantage of by this man. And, like, that was when he... There's, in the early scene, where Van Buren offers him this job, and he's like, and you can live on the property. I was like, oh, so you're offering him to be an indentured servant.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, and it's... You pick that up immediately. You don't really need...
You don't need...
More. I mean, there's an amount of it that I feel of two minds about that scene, because I also felt like it was very heavy-handed, but I did, the whole section in the quarry is kind of my favorite part of the
That's
movie.
That's my also my favorite part of the movie.
So it's like, I feel really complicated about it. Because
Enchanted by that part of the movie.
It's lovely. And I also think that that's home to one of the more subtle moments in it, where as they're leaving the quarry after this event has happened, Laszlo turns and looks at the wall of the cliff, and there's just a massive hole in the wall, and he just stares at it for a minute and then leaves. And there's yeah. like no comment on it. It just feels like this sudden, very like actually artful explanation yeah. of how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And I felt like I wanted that kind of, like, it's reaching for this kind of literary energy, but it's, yeah. so much of it is done in like voiceovers, and like I really did not care for there are a number of scenes pretty much in the first half where there's like random sound reels of like history where it's like Philadelphia, the cradle of the United States.
I was like,
yeah, I know.
Silly.
Yeah, I know. And I just watched, which we'll talk about this afterward, I just watched Nickel Boys, which does a very similar thing, but I think much more deftly
yeah,
and much more subtly. Nickel Boys is great.
Dying to
see it. Yeah, but like having the immediate one after the other where I was like, okay, the brutalist wants me to be smart about some things, but it also thinks I'm stupid, and I need you to pick one. Like, I have
yeah,
a really hard time choosing a lane here.
I know. I feel like it's hard for me to understand. I don't even know that it was smart itself.
Yeah.
You know?
It does feel, there's things about it that I think are really interesting, but it is like, it feels like this is a guy who believes he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
And
but he's just the kid
know.
From the American Funny
he's
Games.
He's just the kid from the American, he's the not Michael Pitt from
he's
the American
He's not
Funny
Michael Pitt from the American Funny yeah. Games. The quarry scene was beautiful. Wasn't, and yeah. isn't there a part in that too? Like they meet up with Laszlo's Italian friend
yes,
who talks
I
about
love.
Like rebels hiding in
yes.
the caves in the quarry from the fascist regime.
Yes.
And like that, yeah, that part is all very, very beautiful.
It's beautiful.
From then on, we get, Laszlo Toth coming home, getting his wife who suffers from,
osteoporosis,
getting her hooked on heroin. And she has an accident. He, gets her into an accidental overdose during the, like some hazed out heroin scene. He tells her about the assaults, and then she confronts
Guy Pierce.
And this all kind of seems to, like, for
it
me,
happens
like,
very fast.
Very fast. She confronts him. She can walk again. And she confronts him in front of a bunch of business partners.
Yeah.
And he runs out of the house, Van Buren, mm-hmm. and he disappears into the brutalist structure that Laszlo Toth has been making. Everything that leading up to that moment, I'm like, this sucks. I thought it was, I thought it was so heavy handed.
Yeah, totally.
Also, like, in what world does this group of businessmen believe, like, a woman?
Oh, yeah. Like, for real. Yeah, as like, soon as they were like, we gotta go.
Believe, like,
okay.
someone's wife who's like, you raped my husband. Like, absolutely. But anyways, the other part of the movie that I did think was interesting was Harrison Van Buren disappearing into the structure.
Same.
And he just disappears.
Yeah,
we don't find
a
body.
I do really like that.
And for me, it felt like his last privilege of being able to not have to suffer the repercussions of
no consequences.
The rape.
Yeah,
he gets to disappear. He doesn't have to even die really on screen.
Or like live with it. He can just disappear.
And so that I like that felt like being inside the structure felt ghostly and just that felt like a nice, again, in the search for subtlety in this movie, I was like, maybe this is a bit of it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's more interesting when it leans into those, like, it's not magical realism, but like a little bit of fantasy where, like Van Buren disappearing. And honestly, it's the dialogue's not great, but I did find it interesting when, hearkening back to what you said earlier, when Toth's wife is like, I know what you did while I was gone, 'cause I dreamt it. And it's like, it's heavy handed, but
leaned into
doing it sometimes is kind of a weird choice instead of doing it a lot of times.
Especially
because
it kind of all ties into like this mystical moment we're having in the marble quarry.
Right.
Like, okay, so it's worth saying that this is not based off of a true story.
It's not, no.
Which I also feel weird about for not any good reason, because there's plenty of like impactful stories that are about history that aren't based on a real account.
Totally. And
there's something about this that I'm like, my brain is like, and then also it's not real.
Right.
But because it's not, you could lean into all this.
It's right. And it does feel to me like almost, it's not a cautionary tale, but it is like, this is what it's like. The thing that is powerful about it, and I think has worked for some people, is that it's like, this is a story about what it's like to be an immigrant in the United States and like feel the weight of colonialism on you and like have just extractive relationships with all the people around you who are just taking from you and not giving anything back. And like that, I think, is actually a really powerful idea, but it isn't being executed the way that I would like it to. And then there's also this movie's kind of funny relationship with Israel, which, like, I don't know how much we want to get into that, but
I
just think it's for a movie that's like largely about the weight and pain of colonization, it's like pretty like mealy mouthed about Israel. It just comes up incidentally a couple of times because Laszlo Toth's niece, after experiencing what is like implied to be sexual assault also at the hands of Van Buren's son, decides to move to Israel because it's like recently been established as a state.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't feel safe here. And there's like a number of references to that, but there's no, at first I was kind of like, okay, we're like making the only statement is that like Laszlo and his wife
are like, why would you go there?
Like, right. Like, does it make us any less Jewish to not be there?
Yeah.
And like, that feels like that. I was like, okay, cool. Like very interesting. Like also something that I understand needing to touch on as like Jewish immigrants to the United States in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Like, of course it makes sense that that is coming up. But then there's the epilogue, which is a confusing and complicated part of this movie that I don't understand.
Oh God, the epilogue. All right.
I was like, how deep are we going? It's 7:34.
Doesn't matter.
Say it out loud. I know.
Doesn't
we got to get it out. We got to talk about it.
We have to talk about it. This. Oh God, this movie makes me so steamed up.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I love seeing you steamed up.
Listen, okay. This is the part of the movie where like, as if I didn't already have my little issues with it, which are normal. Like, I did or didn't like a movie,
totally.
Whatever.
It's not a crime.
the end of the movie, right after the scene where Harrison Van Buren disappears, we like jump right to the epilogue where Laszlo's wife, so sorry, Laszlo's wife, cannot remember your name.
She's a beautiful,
Elzbieta, beautiful name.
Yeah.
She is no longer with us, we assume. She's not around.
No, she is. She's dead. They say that she's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. We're at the Venice Design or Architectural Awards Biennale.
Yeah.
Venice Architectural Biennale. In the future, Laszlo Toth is in a wheelchair being wheeled around by his niece, who is now played by an adult actress. Confusingly, her daughter is played by the same actress who played her in most of the movie. So maybe confusing for some, I understood, but you know,
interesting choice.
And very much like an epilogue, the niece is like giving a wrap up of the entire story. And so a big part of the structure that Laszlo is designing and building for most of the movie for Van Buren, is that he is really specific about the height of the walls and the ceiling. All the other architects that are brought on board are like, why does it need to be that high? Yeah. That seems ridiculous. They cut the budget. And Laszlo's like, I will pay my own money to make sure they stay this high. And then it's revealed at the end that he was bent on doing that because it was supposed to be resonant or like evoke the feeling of being in Buchenwald.
Right. It's the same dimensions as the cells.
Exactly. Exactly. So interesting, but the way it was placed in the movie felt like a zinger to me. And I was like, that is interesting. But this like funny, like, whoosh, reveal at the end.
It's so I feel so confused about that choice because it is like, it's lovely, sort of lovely is maybe not the right word, but like fascinating to hear about his design choices because it's also about him connecting with his wife who was also in, I think, in Dachau. So it's like the two separate rooms and then also tunnels connecting the two of them. And it's like, it's described by this voiceover as, you know, emulating their love for each other and being able to find each other. And like, there's something so lovely about that, but it is it's being told by the niece, I think, she's telling the story. And it feels so, I think I like read a couple of reviews that were like, this is actually an indictment of what's happening. It's supposed to be really sad. Like I kind of understand that because the words that she's saying are like kind of unhinged. Like at the end, she says like, it's about the destination, not the journey, which is such a bizarre thing to say. And like, it does feel like it's suddenly, it's the same music, but like this like fun Italian poppy version of it instead of the like big brass. And it's so, I just don't understand it, I think. And it is such a like an insane tonal shift that's like, look at this man's legacy and like, is it worth anything? And I do think that like, there's something very sad about it, obviously, because he's unable to speak for himself. And that's like a huge part of that. But I also don't, I don't know. This is another thing where I'm like, am I too dumb?
No,
like, I don't understand what's happening.
I don't think so. I think
here.
It was like intent. Like those are like all the pieces are there,
right?
For like a punch, a really good punch.
But I'm like, I'm not feeling it. I'm confused.
But like the strength behind it is just not.
It's weak.
You can't deliver it.
Totally.
Like it's because those details are like beautiful.
Right.
In another world, in a better brutalist, I could cry.
Right. Totally.
But I didn't.
Yeah. Same. I know. I'm like that's. I'm so easy to get. Actually, like this description alone of the building is like stunningly like moving.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's for some reason it's not evoking anything in me. Instead, I'm just like, oh, what? Like, and also. Like the character made a choice to not describe, like to not give that information away. And like, now we're getting it here at the end, just told to us by his niece, who is like, I don't, it's got it's got such a weird relationship to like global politics. I don't understand it.
And I get that like, it's not revealed during the construction because like no one would have ever okayed that.
Right. Like, and he's also so he's such an opaque character. Like we don't really know what's going on with him at any time.
But it's, I guess that's like, if I'm supposed to like shorten my takeaway, it's this movie is full of like dropped balls. Like, like I feel like thing like nuggets that could have been so powerful. And then they just didn't follow through.
I think that's why it's so frustrating, because it's like, I really wanted to like this movie, but it just, I really couldn't. I had such a hard time connecting with it.
I know. And then, okay, about the very end, the last thing, the thing that like makes me actually so mad that I will, like, I will cry is the AI.
Oh, yeah.
Which was used to design the, so in the final epilogue, there's images of other design, architectural designs that Laszlo Toth has done. And those are made by AI, which feels like such an utter insult to the very idea behind this movie.
Absolutely.
I think it's like,
I fully
actually disgusting.
It's so, I like, I remember seeing that, and then like, it was also, but like, you know, but also artists came and redrew them, and it's like, okay, part of the promotion of this movie is how small the budget was. And I'm like, okay, like, well, what if you just hired artists to do it in the first place? Like, maybe it shouldn't have been this low of a budget. And I understand that, like, Hollywood financing is so complicated. And, like, Brady Corbett recently was, like, I think it was on WTF or something. He was interviewed and was talking about how he's broke, because it's, like, when people make these kinds of indie movies, they don't make any money from them. Like, it's just money to make it happen. And then you move on to your next paycheck. And, like, yes, but also I feel so strongly about AI being used as like a like, I think it's evil.
I do too.
That's what I feel strongly about.
We both think it's evil. And then again, like, if as if it wasn't already the case, like in this story, which is a deeply human story about somebody going through actual hell to continue
like making his work,
their craft.
Yes, it's so crazy. Which is also like the, I feel less strongly about the, do you know about the AI thing with his accent?
Yeah. That I feel less strongly about.
Same.
Too.
But so, that's another argument for just hiring a Hungarian actor in the first place.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, like, AI was also used in the movie to like fine tune Felicity Jones and Adrian Brody's Hungarian accent.
Like, but when they're speaking Hungarian, because there's a couple of scenes where they're reading letters to each other, which I actually have a huge problem with, but whatever.
Because it's too like Ken Burns for you?
Yeah. No, I just hate a voiceover. I was just like, what is, I understand that they're both telling us stuff about their characters,
like,
but I was like, just like,
really,
I,
silly.
I hate a voiceover, kind of. Not always, but.
No, but like, it's like corny.
It's corny. And I also found it boring. Anyway.
It's for summer camp movies.
It's for summer camp movies. But both of them are speaking Hungarian while they're reading these letters in the voiceover. And AI was used as basically like auto-tune to correct their accents, which like, whatever. Auto-tune is fine. It's great. But like, AI is bad. So I feel of two minds about it.
But the greater offense to me feels like the design.
100%. Because that's such, you're right. It's like, it's absolutely against the message of the film. So it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So stupid. Anyway, The Brutalist is probably going to win a bunch of awards while we're talking about the Oscars.
Which brings us to talking about the categories.
So you want to start with Best Picture, get it out of the way?
I think we should start with Best Picture.
I will say, okay, so do you want to read the nominees?
Yes. The nominees are Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
So Anora has been kind of an awards season juggernaut.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people are thinking that it's going to win. I do also think, I mean, I do think that The Brutalist has a shot just because it is so well respected.
Yes.
Obviously not by us, but by many others.
And it feels like such Oscar fodder because as it was billed, it's like a great American epic, right? Like the story of America.
Totally. And I have also heard actually basically the same thing about A Complete Unknown, because it's like, it's an American biopic and we're kind of in like a recession and like, like that's when like that kind of schmaltzy movie really makes waves and people really want to watch something that's feel good. And so like The Brutalist is maybe less of a contender in that way because it's not a feel good movie at
and
all.
Like how do you think movies of that length do at the Oscars? Because that's what I wonder about too, is if it's going to lose points
with
the Academy voters.
Because
it's so long.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Anora feels like it's too sexy for a lot of Academy voters. I think it should win out of the options given.
I think it is very sexy, but it has been, I don't think Nickel Boys is going to win because I don't think anybody's seen it. Although I think it should win. That would be my choice personally.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. but I don't know. Anora is so like poppy and fun that actually that makes me think that it wouldn't win.
I know. That's when I like it feels. Yeah. It has such like fun screwball comedy energy, yeah. Which I think a lot like there's a trend of like a comedy not winning. Yeah, like I totally. Feel like it's like usually
it's always like a heavy drama, which is why. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? It seems like a really unpredictable year. I mean, before what's her name's tweets came out, everyone was saying Emilia Perez was going to sweep. So
Emilia, the lead actress in Emilia Perez, has said some very, very bad things in the public sphere.
Yes, and somehow did not have a PR agent. So
somehow
crazy.
Nobody noticed all these tweets.
All these tweets. Anyway.
Somebody recently brought up Conclave as maybe having an uptick because the Pope is in poor health.
It's
the IRL Pope is in poor health.
Massive move by the Conclave PR team to get the Pope in the hospital. Incredible.
I'm sorry,
work.
Francis.
I know, sorry, Francis.
I'm so sorry, Francis.
You're our best favorite Pope. Literally.
I know.
Sorry, King. Shall we continue down to best actress?
Yeah, hold on. I can't find it.
Do you want me to organize? Read it?
Well, yeah, please.
It's the next one down. I'm on the same page as you. I also went to this weird website.
Oh, no, I'm on Oscars now. So you went to Town and Country Magazine?
Yes, because that's where you were.
All right, so I'm going to switch back to Town and Country Magazine.
All right, I'm going to read the nominees for Best Actress.
Yes, and the nominees are...
Cynthia Erivo, Wicked. Carla Sofia Gascon, Emilia Perez. That's the one with the tweets. Mikey Madison, Anora. Demi Moore, The Substance. Fernanda Torres, I'm Still Here.
I think that they're going to give it to Demi Moore. I don't think she needs to have it.
I think I would respect that.
I would respect it also. I'm
rooting for Demi.
I am too. Like it would make me happy. Yeah. And I think that's, they want to give it to her because it would make her happy.
Yeah, totally. I do kind of think she's going to win because of the Emilia Perez like crash out.
Yep.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yep.
Anything's possible, but like kind of don't think that... Mikey Madison's going to win because she's so young. I don't think that many people have seen I'm Still Here. I could be wrong about that.
I haven't seen it.
And Wicked, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Cynthia Erivo would win.
That's
true. I think she's kind of a newcomer to the Oscar scene. Yeah. So who knows? I'm not an expert. That's just my guess.
For Best Actor, the nominees are Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, Timothée Chalamet for A Complete Unknown, Coleman Domingo for Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes for Conclave, Sebastian Stan for The Apprentice.
This one, I feel like it could go anyway. That's kind of my feeling. What do you think?
I feel like they're going to kick it to Adrian Brody.
I mean, it is like, it's interesting because it's in, I didn't realize this until earlier today, but he was the youngest person to win an Oscar when he won for The Pianist.
Yeah.
And that's like so in conversation with The Brutalist. Like there is something really interesting there.
I know. It is.
Yeah. That would be an interesting bookend. I know Timothy's been winning a lot. I also am kind of like Sebastian Stan, maybe a come from behind because of the current political situation we're in. Just something to think about.
I don't know.
But it probably will be Adrian, you're right.
I think they're just gonna chuck it to Adrian.
I think you're right. He's acting the most, so.
He is.
Best supporting actress, shall I read them?
Yes, please.
Monica Barbaro, A Complete Unknown. Ariana Grande, Wicked. Felicity Jones, The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini, Conclave. Zoe Saldana, Emilia Perez.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Has Isabella Rossellini won an Academy Award before?
That's a really good question. I kind of don't think so.
I wonder if this is yet another one of those where they're like, this isn't her... I haven't seen Conclave, but like, she probably has greater work, but like maybe if she hasn't won another... Or if she hasn't won one, then maybe this is like when she gets one.
She's great in Conclave, but like she's not in it that much. that's what supporting is.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Zoe Saldana has been winning a lot. I could also see, honestly, Felicity Jones because The Brutalist, I feel like it could be an Oppenheimer. You know, it could be a big juggernaut.
It's true.
We don't know.
It's true.
It's so hard to say.
Zoe Saldana, maybe like that's how they're going to get Emilia Perez in there is like giving one to like the unoffensive person in the movie.
Which is what I hear. Like, that's what I hear is that everyone's like, we're giving it to Zoe anyway. I'm okay. Yeah. Complicated.
It is.
I didn't watch that flick and I'm not going to.
You know, I might still strap myself into the old Clockwork Orange eye chair.
I can't wait to hear if you do.
Best Supporting Actor, Yuri Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce for The Brutalist, and Jeremy Strong for The Apprentice. I have not seen The Apprentice, not terribly interested. I do love Jeremy Strong. Oh my God, sorry. Thinking about a different dude. I don't love Jeremy Strong. Oh, he's the one from Succession.
I love Jeremy Strong.
I mean, like, he's a goof, and yeah, I do like that. He's great. Like his committed like, to his mint bucket hat outfit. Ugh. At Golden Globe.
He's a total freak.
I know. I was thinking of a totally. I don't know.
Mark Strong, maybe.
Mark Strong.
Yeah, I love Mark Strong.
I was thinking about Mark Strong, not Ryder Strong.
No, Mark Strong, obviously. Kieran Culkin's been winning all of them, so that's probably what's gonna happen.
Oh, but not you or a Borisov.
Honest. Okay, that's not the husband of Anora.
I know.
I think the husband of Anora should be nominated.
He should be on here. Win. Did you see Anora? Okay.
More okay. on this later.
The kid. Yeah, the kid who plays the oligarch's son, the supporting actor in Anora, is unbelievable. And this guy was great too, but
he doesn't have much to do.
He doesn't have much to do.
Yeah, he's like totally fine.
He's fine, yeah. But like he doesn't have a lot of material to like mess with.
No,
the kid is incredible.
He's so good. He's so good.
An absolute crime that he's not on this list.
Unbelievable.
Who messed this up?
I don't understand. I don't understand how any of this works, but that's our opinion. That's the dim the lights.
I don't know. Maybe I'm voting Guy Pearce.
I do think Guy Pearce is great. I think that I would support and respect his win. I love Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Famously, he's in my favorite movie, Ravenous.
He is. And, you know, he's like playing a big villain, and sometimes people like to give that.
Totally.
You know.
He's a great, like, I've heard great. Somebody describe him as like a character actor, but really hot, which is not usually, like, usually character actors are like weird looking. And he's like, he is a character actor, but like,
he's hot. Very simian looking.
Yeah, he is simian.
But he's a handsome.
Just like in The Time Machine.
I do love him.
Yeah, he's great.
All right. Are you doing next color?
Oh, yeah. Best director. I keep forgetting who did last.
Yeah.
Sean Baker, Anora. Brady Corbett, The Brutalist. James Mangold, A Complete Unknown. Jacques Audiard, Amelia Perez. Coralie Farjat, The Substance. I feel like it's got to be between Anora and The Brutalist, but maybe A Complete Unknown. I think people really like that movie.
I mean, like, that's what I heard.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
When it came out with Nosferatu, didn't everyone was like, listen, A Complete Unknown, better than Nosferatu.
Wow, strong take. I do think, honestly, the Oscars love a crowd pleaser. So
they do.
Who could say? We don't know. I think, I think it's somewhere between those three. Who would you give it to if you had to choose among these five? Hard question.
I want to say they're going to give it to Brady Corbett because, like, the choice to use VistaVision, like, some of the shots. Like,
I do think the direction in that movie is great. Like, I would be fine with him winning, even though I don't love the writing in that movie.
Yeah, I don't want him to win.
Yeah. I don't want that.
I don't want him. I like, there's part of me that's like, oh, it'd be cool if they went freaky and gave it to Coralie Farjat, who I also don't think should win.
Yeah,
like, that movie was like, fine.
A strong fine.
Yeah, it's like a strong fine.
Yeah.
And it, like, utterly too long.
Yeah, totally.
So, hence, like, not a good job at directing.
Yeah. Ugh, this is honestly, like, we've had a couple of really great years for the Oscars in a row.
This
and
one's
it's
like kind
we
of
forgot.
A stinker.
We forgot what it used to be like.
I know.
We were so
what is
lucky
this, 2006?
For so long. Like, literally.
What are we going to give Best Picture to the Aviator?
Like, literally.
Or Crash?
I know, that's what I keep saying.
We're going to give it to Crash, like, instead of Brokeback Mountain?
Right. Amelia Perez is our Crash. Like, that's heartbreaking.
Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe it's Sean Baker.
Yeah, maybe it's Sean Baker. I mean, I'd be fine with him winning.
Definitely.
Yeah, go off, Sean.
All right. Best original screenplay, Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5, and The Substance.
Totally.
maybe.
I think this one could be, this is an Anora or The Brutalist. I think pretty, although people really like A Real Pain. I think it's fine, but
I haven't
people really
it.
Like it. It's like fine.
Do you think they'll go September 5th? Cause it's
nobody saw that movie. Yeah. I don't think anybody saw that movie.
It's about the Munich Olympics.
Yeah. And like, it does seem like it's from the perspective of like the news station.
It is, which
and,
is like, interesting.
Yeah, which is a more interesting frame. Although I was like, do we need this now? I don't know.
I know, like probably not.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think anybody saw that movie. I could be wrong. I'm not in touch with the members of the Academy. I just don't know anybody who's seen it.
I'm like,
I'm wondering if they'll do a split where it's like, best picture goes to one and screenplay goes to the other for Anora and Brutalist.
I
know,
and I want to say, it's so hard.
I'd give it to Anora personally.
I would too. I'm trying to. I know who I would want.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to guess who.
What do they want?
Yeah, I would give it to Anora too.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
We're gonna find out together.
All right.
I'm so excited. All right,
we got a couple more categories, and then it's time to say goodnight.
We're gonna be so quick. Best adapted screenplay: A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing. It should be Nickel Boys. It's incredible. It's like
that's what I hear.
That's what we'll talk about it later. Maybe I'll talk about it next episode.
Yeah, I haven't seen a single one of these movies. Adapted
that's screen. Oh no, I've seen Conclave too. Conclave might win. Probably not. It'll probably be a complete unknown.
I'm gonna go home and watch Conclave
after this. It's fun. Really, really fun.
Best cinematography: The Brutalist, Dune Part Two,
yes.
Emilia Perez, Maria, and Nosferatu. I think they might kick this to Dune Two.
Yeah, I hope
like,
they
I'm
do.
Sorry, Dune Two.
Yeah,
you haven't gotten anything.
It's usually those are the movies that get like the technical awards.
Exactly.
And, like I hope it does win, but The Brutalist might win because it is like very visually stunning.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see if they can be trusted. Can they be trusted?
Best original score: The Brutalist, Conclave, Emilia Perez, Wicked, and The Wild Robot. This could easily be The Brutalist or Wicked.
Yeah.
Because it's full of music.
Totally.
Wild Robot, very cute movie.
Very cute movie.
That was a good one.
Very cute movie.
I liked that one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
I wanted to see if...
Do you want to skip over Best Original Song? Because none of those are songs that anybody's ever heard of.
Okay, as you know... The other night I watched Francis Ford Coppola's epic out of his own pocket, Metropolis.
Yes, Megalopolis, please.
Sorry, Metropolis,
Megalopolis. Put a little respect on its name.
I know. I'm so sorry, Jenny. I know.
Unbelievable.
Megalopolis Defender. Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. My gain.
I know. I turned it down, but it's somehow still.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a close talker. I'm sad that I did not like that movie. However, it should 100% be up for costume design.
Yes, bro. I agree. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I know. Do you want to skip past any of these to anything more interesting or?
Maybe.
So we're at 3 minutes remaining.
I know. And I kind of want to pivot to like, if you won the Oscar, which category would you like to win it for?
Ooh.
And who would you thank in your speech?
Wow. Okay. Well, like my family. I feel like cinematography is like a tasty one where it's like, that just means you're really good at your job.
I know. It's
you're
like, this is
so
like
good
the,
at your
big,
job.
The big leagues.
Yeah.
Like I know the big awards for best pick and leading actor, but
I feel like also those aren't always respected. Like I'm kind of like, I feel like cinematography is
that's
like,
I mean.
Oh, like that's like a real award kind of, you know,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Where I'm at.
That's I know, same, like visual effects.
Yeah.
Like, that would be so fun.
That would be so sick.
To like make like a really yucky movie.
Oh, I know, for
win
real.
For visual effects.
That would be so tight. Yeah, I would thank you. I would thank Dim Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I would thank like the entire, you know, world, I guess, probably. I don't know.
Would you use your platform to say, I mean, like, obviously you can use your platform to say any number of things, mm-hmm. but like, you know, when Joaquin Phoenix starts talking about veganism.
Yeah, totally.
Like something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
I probably would say something that would get me dragged off stage.
Yeah. Would they play the music on you?
Yeah, almost certainly. Because I'm not very concise, I would say. I would say I'm pretty long-winded.
Yeah. I would probably.
I would cry.
Yeah.
I would definitely cry.
Oh, I'd be like heaving and crying and shaking.
Yeah.
I recently gave my first wedding speech and I'm pretty sure it would just go just like
exactly
that.
Exactly
where I had to like hold the paper to my chest so I wasn't shaking.
Because it's like trembling like a little leaf.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's how I would be too.
I'll just probably cry about my mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's great.
Can I
shout out one other movie that we didn't talk about,
please.
Which is nominated for both Best Animated Feature and Best International Feature.
Yes.
The movie Flow.
Oh, was it good? Also,
I really liked Flow. I actually liked it more than The Wild Robot, which I did also like.
Yeah.
It's really sweet. The animation style is like kind of weird. You have to get into it first.
Okay.
Like it looks a little funny, but it's a really lovely story. Like basically silent just with animal noises. Oh. And it's like about a little cat during a flood. Ooh. And it's got like it has like this kind of weird, mysterious universe that it's existing in. That's kind of fun. I really liked
it. Which is like, you know, I wish those were the animated features that I saw in the award season more, like something, you know, it's animation. You can go anywhere.
Yeah. Pleased that it has appeared in two categories.
It's like, you know, I always want something of the Miyazaki level.
Yeah. It's obviously nothing's as good as Miyazaki, but it has like such a lovely intro.